1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Amen. Amen. Not a lot of verses this morning, but a good Memorial Day message. Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for a timely reminder on this Memorial Day of what you did for all of us. Because all of us were such as some of you. And we thank you, Father God, for the washing and for the cleansing. We thank you, Father God, for sanctifying us. Most of all, justifying us. And how did you do it? You did it by the power of God and your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Spirit. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget Jesus. I made a statement this morning, and a lot of times you will hear me teaching Sunday school, and a lot of the sermon will spill over into the Sunday school lesson. I think that's just natural. It's just a natural coincidence that you've studied all week and some of it will spill over. But on this Memorial Day, and when I was a young man coming up, a young child, this was one of my dad's favorite holidays. And I think as we came up in the 60s and 70s, and it's a little different today. A lot of the young people, they don't celebrate the 4th of July or Memorial Day. It doesn't have the same meaning. But for whatever reason, it was an important day for my dad and our family. And we got together. We had cookouts. And it was always, a lot of family and friends together. And when I look at Memorial Day today, and we think about the soldiers, and normally there would be parades honoring those who died to serve in this country, to make it the country that it is. And then I thought about my life with the Lord. And I looked at this sermon, and I got three or four different titles. See, I always come up with these different titles for the sermon. I remember when Big Dave was here, he would always say, "Boy, you ain't give a title for the sermon." That was one of his pet peeves of mine. He would always say, he didn't give a title for the sermon. So I have one title, number one, "Don't Forget Jesus." Then title number two, "The Chief Sinner Speaks." Then title number three, "The Preaching of the Chief Sinner." And I don't know which one's going to make it when I put it online. But here's Paul. And what Paul is doing, and we talked about last week when I was preaching on, let's not worry, or no need to worry. Because Paul, through his preaching, and I think all the teachings of the Bible is designed so we not worry. Worrying and praying just don't go together. Okay? I used to hear the people say, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. But you can't do both. Okay? And we all know some worrying Christians. And when we see a Christian worrying, what's normal for us to do? We would tell them or talk to them about Jesus. Understand the scriptures. Understand what God is doing in your life and what he's done. And remember the fact that God is good. He's a good God. Okay? So, when we look at our text today, Paul's saying, and he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, remember how chapter 6 started off. This was a chapter where the people in the church of Corinth were taking each other to court. They were suing each other. Somebody come to church and trip over the carpet. They would file lawsuits, go to court, and they were taking, saved folks were taking saved folks to church, or Christians were taking Christian church to folk, or church folks were taking church folks to court, however you want to put it. And so Paul is moving from that. And he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when I read a text like that, my immediate response is, everybody unrighteous.
Amen.
Okay? But just in case you think you're righteous, Paul starts listing other things. And I think the list is huge and long because Paul wants to make sure everybody understands that if they're saved, they've been delivered. If they're saved, they've been washed. If they're saved, they were saved from something. Okay? Nobody's saved that hasn't been saved from something. If you say, I'm saved, somebody asks you what you've been saved from, your sin ought to be on this list.
Amen.
It ought to be on this list. And there's nothing to be ashamed about, because one thing for certain, Paul was not ashamed of his past. That's how he understood. That's why I say the chief sinner speaks. He's talking to these believers and who may have gotten a little self-righteous, or they may have gotten a little haughty. They may have gotten to the point where they've been walking with the Lord for so long, you know, they become all that. Okay? So Paul is giving them a reminder that don't forget where you come from. Don't forget what God has done for you. Because we can walk around here all high and lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul says, be not deceived, okay? He said, don't be tricked. And who's a deceiver? What's one of Satan's names? He's a deceiver of the brother. And one of the ways he deceives us in the church is that we've got it all together now. And we can start looking down on folks who don't have it all together. I want to really think about this word wash when you come there. But before we get to wash, now, here's the list. And I think God is a God of order. The text Matthew read in the responsive reading is show God's order. God over man. Man over woman. And we fight order. But here God is giving orders. He said, be not deceived. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of himself with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to be a part of the inheritance.
Amen.
Okay? Look at his order. Starts off with fornicators. And in our culture today, we sort of look past fornicators. We would look at effeminate. We would look at the LGBT community, and we would look at that as the, you know, ultimate sin. But God's academy here, he has fornicators heading up the list. And we sort of, you know, we sort of admire fornicators. You know, we look at some of the heroes of our society. You know, I was studying this and I heard someone say, well, you know, the people they've been together for 10 years. Okay? In God's eyes, they've been fornicating for 10 years. Okay? I mean, that's just God's eyes and God's way of looking at things. Well, me and her, we've been together. I hear people say, well, we got married. You know, we got married. You know, we've really been together for like 40 years, but, you know, we only been married 25. And they ain't say that almost bragging, you know, about their, you know, I'll tell people, I've been married 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they say it goes up all the time. And they'll say, well, you know, me and my wife been married 40 years. You know, we've been together 40 years, but we only been married like 20. That don't count like mine. I heard someone say, well, you know, they in a relationship. You know, if you in a relationship, I say, wait a minute, a relationship? You mean tell me a relationship is the same as marriage? To a lot of people, it is. But God puts it on this. I'm not going to go on. That's one of my hobby horses. Then he said, nor idolaters. Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Then he goes down the list. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We've studied that before, and I'm not going to labor on all that. And we know what all that means. Paul's looking at the church. And I'm going to look at this crowd here we have today, and all of us is in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All of us is in there somewhere, myself included, the whole church. And he said, and such were some of you. That's the Memorial Day part of it. That's bringing it into remembrance. Never forget. Never forget. Some people say, know your history. Never forget what God has done for you. Watch this. He said, but you were washed. Now, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? We were stanky at one time.
Amen.
We stank up the place. We was funky. We stank. You ever been around somebody like that? And you take a bath and you shower up, but now you condemning people who are like you used to be before you were washed. God washes us. How does he wash us? He washes us with the word of God. He washes us with the blood of God. Not only does he wash us, he sanctifies us. Somebody said, what do you mean sanctifies us? That's one of them King James Bible words. He gives us the ability to live holy lives. Okay? And he gives us the grace and the mercy that when we fail, and we will, we get back up and keep walking. We can ask God to forgive us. We can stand on God's word and say, God, forgive me for my sins. And he'll say, I forgive you, like we would do our children. We love our children. We're going to continue to love them, even through their ups and downs and all their mistakes. And God treats us the same way. But here's the part I like. But you were justified. That's an interesting word. You were justified. I heard some of the old preachers, just as if I had never committed a sin. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's what it means. You've been justified. You know, it's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of you know, having. I looked this stuff up because I got too much time on my hands now. And you know, the worst credit rating you can have is 300, and the highest credit rating you can have is like 850. So really, what God does in the credit rating scheme of things, he takes us from a 300 to an 850. In God's eyes, we've never missed a bill. We've never been late on a payment. God has not only washed us, he's sanctified us, but he's justified us. And now we're 850. We're 850. We can ask God anything. We can say, God, whatever. He listen, you're going to get the lowest rate possible because you 850 now. You ain't got to go to brothers. Okay? You can go to the top dealership. You can go to the Lexus of Dublin, Ohio, and buy you a brand new Lexus because you 850. As soon as you tell them, they're going to say, what's your credit rate now? 850. How about that? In the Lord, we 850. Because we've been justified. Justified. No need to worry. Don't forget about Jesus. Last week we started off, and I just had to review just a touch. Stay with me, because people say, you know what? What are you Christians? You Christian? What do you think y'all all that? We are all that in Christ.
Amen.
In Christ, we gotta make sure we put the in Christ part of on it, okay? Because here's what happens, and I think Paul would always get accused because Paul was chief. Imagine, and I hear it all the time. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You a sinner just, you know, you a sinner just like everybody else. I hear that all the time. Guess what I say? For all have sinned. Now what Paul said in Romans 3 and 20, he said, for all have sinned. Okay, so somebody asks you, you know, you think you're better than all that? For all have sinned. Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because somebody, well, you know, you're still a sinner. God will never forgive you for what you did. Let's see. Yes, he has.
Amen.
And then Paul would say, then I could hear Paul say, because I can almost sense it in the text. He said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Paul never forgot. And I think Paul was quick. I'm pretty sure he was a lot quicker than anybody else. And then when they ask him the same question in the Ephesian church, they say, Paul, you know, God ain't never forget what you've done. Because that's what Satan do. He's a Accuser of the brother. He's a deceiver. Okay? And Paul would say to the people in Ephesians 6, that remember Paul, he says, in whom we, including the chief, have redemption, how Paul? Through his blood.
Amen.
The forgiveness of sins. How, Paul? According to the riches of his grace. How did God do that? See, this is fascinating to me. I hope it's fascinating to you guys and people listening online. But how did God do it? Watch this. And this is from last week. Isaiah 53:10. I like this verse. I'm just going to read one verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him in grief. When thou shalt make his soul what? An offering for sin. How did God do it? Did it through his son, Jesus Christ. Why did he do it? So we could have freedom in Christ. And I'm going to get to my point. I just got to look at this again. Because some people tell you, they say, well, you know what? God ain't forgave you. And God ain't forgave you. And God, and you still going to die and go to hell like everybody else. But everybody say, you know what? What's your answer to that?
Amen.
And Paul a lot quicker than us. Paul was saying, Romans 8:1. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How about that? Go ahead, Paul. Paul struggled with the flesh just like everybody. And Paul might have got caught in one. He may have had a bad day. See, we sit here like, whoa, Paul didn't have a bad day. He may have a bad day. He may have a bad thought. It ain't just us. You know? Who in here don't battle with evil thoughts? Okay? Who in here Satan don't speak to? And tempt and all that. Paul struggled with the flesh. How do I know? Paul says, for the good that I would do, I do not. Romans 7:19. He said, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So what Paul said, when he wanted to do good, evil was there. How many times has evil stopped somebody from doing something good? I know I ain't by myself. You ever been driving around, you see the guy holding a cardboard sign, and he said, money, food, whatever. And something in your heart says, you know, throw him a couple dollars. And then something says, no, don't give him nothing. You need to go get him a job. Walmart hiring. He's standing right in front of it. Why do them kind of thoughts go through people's heads? Okay? You ever had the thought to get somebody, do something for somebody, and then just stop? Don't follow through with it. Maybe God has put on your heart, hey, you need to do something for somebody. And then you back away from doing it. Why does that happen? Paul said that we had not only freedom in Christ, and we didn't have to worry about dying and going to hell, because God took care of that. Wouldn't he take care of it? On Calvary. You catch a lot of heat, you know, you can lose your salvation. How can you lose it? This is one of the controversies in church. How can you lose your salvation? Somebody said, well, you don't lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Okay? If you're like, I once saved, always saved. I can't find it nowhere in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Okay? It's in my favorite verse. It's in the church. It's in the foundational verse for the whole church. And really what that foundational verse is saying, you can't lose your salvation. Now what it's really saying is you better make sure you have it right. Okay? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, you just hop down the aisle and fall out and dance a few times and then you in. There's more to it than that. But I know John 3:16, if you understand it like we understand it, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, here's a key word, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that sounds like salvation that you can't lose. Okay? So you see that. You see you have freedom in Christ. You have redemption in Christ. And then Paul says you have security in Christ. You're in a safe place, folks. You're in a safe place. Okay? Cindy and I, when we had Ray, we would go to Anton's on Belmont, and they had a dish called the kitchen sink. And I would go, I like the kitchen sink. You had that before? It's the kitchen sink. And it had everything in it. It had a big cheese stick in the middle, and mushrooms and sausage and pasta, and I mean, it was huge. Couldn't even eat it all. Jeremy might not be able to eat it all. But by the time, you know, Cindy and I, we got the wings and everything, so we only ate half of them to take it home. But it's the kitchen sink. And the reason I bring up the kitchen sink, Satan will throw the kitchen sink at you.
Amen. Amen.
He will throw everything at you, okay? And some of us have been hit with this stuff. And Satan will throw everything at you. And Paul said he can throw everything at you. And this one, people say, well, you know what? You can lose your salvation. Let me tell you something. Okay. Satan threw everything at you. Look at Romans 8. Paul says, Satan threw everything at me. And he'll throw everything at you. And he said, all who desire to live God in Christ shall suffer persecution. And Paul says in Romans 8:38, he said, for I am persuaded. I'm fully convinced. I'm fully convinced. I am confident. Paul said, I have seen enough to know. I have seen enough to know. Many of us have seen enough to know that God is good. Okay? Mm-hmm. God is good. You can say, well, I've never there. You have never known a time. Anybody in here, listen to me, where God has not been faithful. Okay? Has anybody here ever known a time where God has not been faithful? Somebody woke up this morning, guess what you woke up to? When you woke up this morning, based on what you've seen outside, and based on the very fact that you were able to open your eyes, guess what you know? His mercies are what? New every morning.
Amen.
Every morning. I heard Claire's like, I thank God I'm able to say amen. Thank God I'm able to. Okay? Listen. God been good. He's Almighty God. He's Almighty God. He was Almighty God when He created the earth. And guess what He is today? May 24th, 2020. Guess what He is still? Almighty God. He's Almighty God. So Paul knew that. Paul knew that. He knew that God has been faithful. He said God is Almighty. And he said, for I'm persuaded that neither death, no life, no angels, no principalities, no powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Where is it at? Where is it found? Where is this love of God found? Which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lord. Our Lord. So where you at? You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. And guess what? If you fall in all those three categories, you belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You're a child of God. And there's something about being a child of someone with that kind of influence and that kind of power and that kind of authority. Imagine that. Imagine that. I hear people talking about, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. Listen, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. Think about that. Think about that. That's some heavy stuff there. Paul says to the Galatian church, every church he went to, he had to reinforce this because every church is under attack. Every church that's really serving God is under attack. We learned that this morning in Sunday school. All who desire to live faithful in Christ shall suffer, and they need those reinforcements. So Paul runs into the Galatian church and he has to tell them, remember, you belong to Christ. That's one thing you tell somebody who's struggling with life, and they're going to struggle. Christians struggle. Christians go through. Christians get cancer. Christians have mental illness. Christians have heart attacks. Christians have COVID-19. Christians go through. But we have to constantly remind them that you are a child of God. And Paul had to remind the Galatian church because they were being bombarded. People was coming in. You want to come back to Judaism. Come back to the old way of doing things. And Paul had to write in Galatians 3:26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's important. There's the only way you can become a child of God is by having faith in Christ Jesus. And you know what's so special about that? You know what's so special about that? Think about all the people you know that don't care about who about the things of God. Think about that. Think about all the people you know who don't care about Jesus Christ, don't want to hear, don't want to even be around you when you talk about it. Think about this. Think about this. God has not given faith to everyone to believe. The very fact that you have the faith to believe puts you in a whole different class of people. Like being in a country club. You know, you ride by a country club, and I used to golf. I ride by a country club, and I can't get in there. I ain't got no membership. And I hear how nice it is. New country club, the one Mahoney Country Club, one of the nicest golf courses in this area. Then you had a one Squaw Creek. You got nice golf courses, but guess what? Got a membership. You know what our membership is? God has given us the faith to believe. Well, by grace are you saved? Through faith.
Yeah.
Through faith. And not of yourself. Not of yourself. It's a gift of God. How about that? How about that? God has not given faith to believe to everyone. And there's folks still in darkness. Still in darkness. And we could still be in darkness. But God gave us faith. He gave us favor to hear his call. Because when God called us, and Peter said we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that call went out. That's what they call a general call. It went out to everybody. Why didn't you hear it? Why didn't you hear it somebody else didn't? How about that? You ever think, God, thank you for giving me ears to hear. Because a lot of folks didn't hear it. And a lot of folks have died in their sins and have died and gone on. Because God didn't give them the faith to hear. Paul, Jesus says himself, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Paul knew when he would go to a church, he knew everybody wasn't saved. See, we take for granted. Everybody's saved. You come to a church, might have 20,000 members, might have 20 members. But you know what? There's only a fraction of people that's saved in any particular gathering. And Paul writing to the Corinth church, and this was a carnal church, and in chapter 1, the very second verse, To the letter to this church, look what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Look what Paul says. Because he was making sure that the right people heard him. Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. What's Paul doing? He's identifying. He's making sure that they knew that he knew the condition of his church. He's saying to the sanctified, to those who are called to be saints. And all of us in here that have been called, that have answered the call, God has given us a faith to answer the call. He didn't call us just to do nothing.
Amen.
He called us to be saints. He called us to be saints. And that's way more effective than running around giving out free gas. Okay? Okay? It's way more effective than doing that and giving people money and food and all that. And see, a lot of that, people say, where do people do that? I'm gonna tell you why they do that. When I went to school, I had to write a dissertation, so you had to write everything on the Catholicism, the effect of Catholicism on the church. See, we came out of the church. But a lot of people that came out of the church, and the Baptists didn't come out of the Protestant movement. Reform movement. We didn't come out. Baptists, we were called the Anabaptists. We didn't come out. We was already a separate entity. But a lot of churches came out of Catholicism. And one of the one things they pulled when they came out of Catholicism, penance, working and doing and giving, all that. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find God in the Bible, the people of God having giveaways. You don't. Somebody find it for me and bring it up on Wednesday. You won't find that. You know what you found? Preaching the word. Being persecuted for preaching the word. Ain't nobody persecuting you. They're going to line up. You can line up all. Listen, they're going to have a bigger crowd that gave away beer.
Amen.
And then we're going to have beer and some dancing women. They're going to really service the public. Old country preachers say, you want to draw a crowd. You put the Budweiser truck out in front of the church and some dancing girls and you will have them all coming. If that's your goal. And say, look what we're doing. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says all who desire their God in Christ shall be persecuted. Let me keep going. To the sanctified. I like that. Sanctified. Sanctified, meaning I'm growing, I'm getting stronger and stronger. Then when I have a setback, when I have a time where I feel like I'm defeated, God gives me the strength to keep pressing on. Paul, we're writing in Philippians, let's press toward the mark of what? The high calling of God. It's a press way. It's a press way. It's a press way. Then he says, you have everything you need. Matthew, there's nothing you need that you cannot find in God's word. How about that? There's not a question. There's not a question that you can't help answer that's not found in God's word. I hear these people today, God's still giving revelation. God's still speaking. His word is complete. It is complete. It is canonized. God is not giving revelations to nobody. Now, the only revelation you may get is already in the Bible. And God may open your eyes to something that you've never seen before. He does it to me all the time. He was doing it on Wednesday night. When we were studying on Wednesday night, I was seeing stuff. I'm like, but I'm not going to sit here and say, well, God's giving me revelations.
Amen.
No, God is enlightening me to the truth of His Word. How many times we go over a scripture, and here we come. Here we come with something new. We've been on the woman from Samaria for what, 3-4 weeks? And it's something new every week. And we do it this week, it'll be something new.
Amen.
But God ain't giving us new revelations. Okay? Listen. Solomon. Remember Solomon? In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon taking over the kingdom. Right. And Solomon already understood it was too much for me. This is too much for me. He said, God, this is too much for me. Okay? So he went to God. He went to God and he said, God, it's too much for me. And God said, Solomon, ask me anything you want. I don't have the text in front of me. He said, ask me anything you want, and I'll do it. And what did Solomon ask for? He's asked for the same thing that we should be asking for. He asked for the same thing that we should be asking for when we run into difficulty. When we run into a hard time, when we're facing a decision, facing a trial, facing a situation that could be as simple as buying a car, could be as simple as buying a house, could be as simple as what school to take our children to or whatever. Give me wisdom. Look at what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. And they was all signs and wonders, all signs and wonders. And you know what God, what Paul says to these people in his church? He says, 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Here we go. Four things. And that makes us complete. We don't need nothing else. If you think you need anything outside of these four spiritually, then you something wrong. Thanks. He made unto us wisdom. Godly wisdom. Wisdom from on high. The ability to look at a situation and discern it and deal with it spiritually through God's word. Back in the day, what would Jesus do? Brace us all. And that's wisdom. Godly wisdom. God, how should I deal with this? And you know what? You fall on your knees and say, God, you know what? I'm confused in this situation. How do I need to deal with this? He gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom. Then the second thing Paul said, he said, he gives us righteousness. And then righteousness is just the ability to be right with God. I want to be on a right relationship with God. I want to be right with God. And that should be our cry all the time. And if somebody comes and offers us something that doesn't line up with God, I want to do things. I want to do things right in God's eyes. That's interesting to me. Because the next verse in 1 Corinthians 1:31, he said, all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. So I want to be right with God. I want to be right with God. And then he says, and sanctification, the ability to continue to live a life that gives God glory. That's sanctification in a nutshell. The ability to live a life, a daily walk with God where you're giving God glory. She said, well, I had a bad day. You know how you give God glory in a bad day? Yes, you say, God, forgive me for my sins.
Amen.
And then that bad day becomes a good day, because ain't nothing like asking God to forgive you. I don't know about any of you guys, but when you fall into sin, you fall into error, and God gives you, takes away the pride, takes away all that haughtiness, and now you can say, God, forgive me for what I was thinking. Forgive me for what I said to that person. Forgive me for being disrespectful to my wife. Forgive me for being disrespectful to my husband. Whatever. I mean, when you pray like that, boy, you get stronger. You get stronger. So God says, I give you wisdom. I give you righteousness. And here's the last one. Here's our word, redemption. Redemption. Don't forget. Don't forget that God redeemed you. God saved your wretched soul. But that's God said. That's food for thought.
Amen.
That's food for thought. Now, I said this morning, I was talking about it, the man on TV, the professor. He was a professor. And he says, Christians don't care about getting sick and dying. That's why they want to open up these churches and stuff. And they all they worry about, their life is invested in the afterlife. And I was like, amen. I was like, amen, Mr. CNN, Mr. Fox News, commentator, whoever he wants. But you hit it dead on the nose. We ought to be more invested in the future than here, because we're going to be in the future a whole lot longer than these little 70, 80 years down here. We get there, 70. All right, we get to 70. Now, what are we going to do for the next 10,000 years? See? So wouldn't it make sense to make a bigger investment in something you're going to be doing for 10,000 years than something you're going to be doing for 70, 80?
Amen.
No, the best man in Cindy and I's marriage, he passed away. He passed away last week. His funeral was last week. I just looked at the paper. I'm like, you know, I got saved. I separated from everybody. He was 69. And I know, when I got saved, I talked to him about the things of God all the time. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. Say, man, something happened to me, man. And everybody called. You see, when you get saved, everybody calling. Man, what happened to you, man? You don't golf no more. You don't drink no more. You don't smoke no more. You don't cheat. You don't do nothing no more. You took that too far, didn't you? Don't take all that. Now when they tell you stuff like that, you know, and I lost contact with him. How about that? The best man in my marriage, lost contact with him because I got saved. Cost me a good friend. But Paul knew this, and in 1 Corinthians 15, I just love talking about Paul. I might title this, The Preaching of a Sinner. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. Watch this. This is fascinating to me. People say, everything's fascinating to you. This is fascinating to me. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. How about that? If Christianity is only for these 70, 80 years down here, and you only doing it for down here, you are of all men and women most miserable. How about that? Are you most miserable? This ain't just for here. Because we got some living to do. We got some living to do. Folks, let me tell you something. When Lazarus was in hell, alive, enlivened with great vision and great hearing and great memory and great love for his family, how y'all gonna say he was dead? How can anybody say Lazarus is dead and the rich man was dead and in hell, his open Bible say right away, he opened his eyes and saw Lazarus afar off. And then he started talking and praying and pleading. That don't sound like dead to me. Pass. That's why he said, you passed away. Well, you can pass up, but you can pass down. Okay? That's just fascinating to me. Listen, thought about this. So we can still worry about this life, Jeremy. It's going to be 85. It's going to be 85 tomorrow. It's going to be 85 degrees tomorrow. Anybody plan on putting on a wool suit? Seriously. Anybody plan on putting on a wool suit on a 95 degree day? Why not? Because it's going to be uncomfortable. It'd be itching and hot and irritable. Guess what? Guess what sheep are clothed in? Wool. See, we don't have a whole lot of Christians who want to wear the wool. See, we have a church today full of folks that want silk and the nicest cotton. Okay? And then I say that symbolically because we don't want to be uncomfortable at all. We don't want to have to say that and bones start itching a little bit. Talking about that wool. But see, we sheep. God calls us sheep and people say, well, you know, these dumb animals. Sheep ain't dumb. They understand. They understand they don't run fast. They understand they don't have claws. They understand they don't have sharp teeth. They understand that they can't swim. You ain't gonna see no sheep jump in the water. You know what they sheep know they need? A shepherd. A shepherd. But they know they can't defend themselves. That ain't dumb. That ain't dumb. That's why a lot of y'all carry. Get old. I tell old folks, get your car and carry. You can't fight and run like you used to. You know? Running around here defenseless. And I'm just telling you from God. God said, listen, get you to defend yourself. I'll tell you who to shoot. That's a sheep. They're uncomfortable. See, we don't like being uncomfortable. Let me keep going. I'm going to make one more point. How about time? I didn't wear a watch today. That's too bad. Listen. I forgot it. I got the watch. You got to charge up and I forget them. But listen to this. This is another great thing about being saved.
Amen.
About understanding who you are in Christ and what God has done for you. And I just keep slamming this and slamming this. And because of this Wuhan virus, COVID-19, Chinese virus, whatever you want to call it, God has told me, make sure your people understand. You just keep slamming it, slamming and slamming. Make sure they understand. Make sure they understand. Make sure they understand. I got two more points and I'm going to close. God loves us.
Amen.
God loves us. Think about this. Now here's Paul again. And I think Paul is just rehearsing his life. He's just telling his life story. Okay? And God gave him that life story. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16. He's still writing to this church that's carnal. This church that's carnal. And we got churches today want to model themselves after the Corinthian church. Well, you got the five-fold ministry. We got all the gifts in operation. Well, listen. All the gifts was operation. Why is all these cogent and all these word of faith preachers dying? If all the gifts in operation, why ain't they in New York City saving some of them folks in Chicago and Detroit? I don't want to hear it. All these folks healing. We got the gift of healing and all that. Let me tell you something. Too many people dying for me to believe that. And when you tell a lost world that, they just look at you like something wrong. Okay? We got 105,000 people that died. And folks running around talking about they got the gift of healing. Okay? Let me tell you something. If I had the gift of healing, a couple people died this week. Big time people died this week. Okay? Big time people died this week. Ain't nobody healing. Paul says this to this church. He says this. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Watch this now. He says, if any man love not the Lord, Jesus Christ, well, that's deep. If any man or woman, anybody you know, and you ask them, do you love the Lord Jesus, Christ, Messiah? And they say anything but an emphatic yes, Yes, I love them. And not only they say it verbally, but back it up with a life that says I love them. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't want nobody to say, I love him just to stay out of hell. Okay? But if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be. This is Paul talking to a church. Why is he talking to a church like this? See, we don't look at this stuff like this. Why is he talking to a church? You think he'd be talking at a flea market or somewhere in a football stadium on a Sunday afternoon? He's talking to a church. There's supposed to be woman with the Lord. There's supposed to be serving God and worshiping God and praising God. And Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, there's the folks in there that didn't.
Amen.
Let him be anathema, Maranatha. What? I had to look it up. I studied this stuff, but I still had to look it up. Maranatha. What's that mean? What's that mean? Maranatha means, it means a preparedness for the Lord's coming. But the word in front of it is the key word. Let him be. Who is this him? The one that don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about verbal. Okay? I'm not talking about, you know, folks that can sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Because, you know, you have a choir full of folks that can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, till they get out of church. Okay? I'm not talking about the choir. I'm talking about a person who loved the Lord Jesus. Who if you went and arrested him and brought up charges against him, saying, this man, I'm charging him with loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, mind, and soul. And this man will bring up witnesses and say, you know, he don't love the Lord. You got the wrong person. You got to let him go. You got to let him go because if he don't love the Lord, he don't serve the Lord, he don't read his Bible, he don't go to church, he don't go to Sunday school, he don't have a pastor. Let him go and the judge hear all these witnesses coming up and say, well, prosecutor, your case is dismissed on the grounds that there's too much evidence against him that he don't love the Lord. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about somebody who loves the Lord. Somebody who loves the Lord. Okay? And I'm not talking about somebody who walks perfectly because we all fall short. There's none righteous, no, not well. Paul was not perfect. I'm talking about somebody who loved the Lord. And Paul says, if any man loved not the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, this is a good message for somebody. Let him be anathema. Know what that word anathema means? Someone devoted to destruction. Someone devoted to instruction. Someone set on going to hell. But God is God of mercy. Because he puts behind anathema, he puts Maranatha. Meaning, there's still hope. There's still hope. That person who was on his way to hell, like Paul, like myself, like Matthew, like all you guys in here, God's grace gave us a second chance. Why? Because he's a God of second chances.
Amen.
Thank God for him being a God of second chances. And my last point, we have victory. We have victory. Let me tell you something. Paul's still with the Corinthian church. He's still with the Corinthian church. They was a mess. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians, now he's in 2 Corinthians, second letter to him, and he writes this in 2:14. I'm going to close. He says this, because we have victory in Christ. We have victory in Christ, and Paul knew it. Paul had victory. Paul was victorious. Even though Paul was going to die and get his head cut off, he's writing these letters, all these letters he's writing from prison, he still lived victorious. He still lived victorious. And you wouldn't think Paul would be writing stuff like this. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was whipped 39, shipwrecked, snakes on his hand. Paul went through so much pain and agony. But know what he says? Now thanks be unto God. How about that? He said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and watch and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, he sort of giving himself a little pat on the back. He's sort of talking to the preachers in Corinth, and he's sort of talking to the preachers in Corinth because the job of the preachers was to spread the sweet gospel, the good news, and not entertainment and games and frolics. And like they was doing in Corinth, Paul says this. Watch this now. You got to look at this slowly because you'll miss it. Okay? And Paul said, now thanks be unto God. He's talking about the value and the worth of preaching. He says, but thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Paul said, when I preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Watch this now. Here's the go. Here's the preaching. And make manifest. Make manifest means make clear. The job of the preacher is to make it clear. Some sermons are so confusing. They just so deep. The preachers try to get so deep. Can't even understand. I'm like, man, I can't understand nothing you're saying. You know, the hermeneutics and the homiletics. And they got all these big old words. And, well, that was from another dispensation. And I'm sitting here and the people are like, hey, listen, I have not a clue what you're talking about. Paul had the gift of making it plain. I gave you all these illustrations from Paul. None of them hard to understand. This may be one of the more difficult to understand, but listen to what he said. He says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Paul said his preaching was effective. It reached the people it meant to reach. And it was victorious. That word triumph in Christ and make manifest, swatch, the Savior of his knowledge. How about that? The Savior of his knowledge. Mean the sweetness of the Word of God. It may come across coarse, it may come across harsh, whatever, but it may confront you, it may call you out, but it's sweet. It's sweet. And he says, by us, meaning all the preachers in every place. Now we asked the question this morning, why don't people come to the Lord? I'm closing. Why don't people come to the Lord? Well, we got loved ones, we got children, all of us, we got loved ones, we got children, we got coworkers, we got friends, we got neighbors. Why don't they come to the Lord? I said I was going to go over this, and we talked about it in Sunday school. Partly through pride. Pride number one on the list, pride. And then not wanting to be reproved by the gospel. What's that mean? Not wanting to be reproved. Pride. We don't want to get called out. And I say all the time, everybody's saved been called out.
Amen.
Ain't nobody you know been saved that God has not called them out. And that's part of calling out of darkness into his marvelous light. Watch this. Another part to prejudice against the ministers of the gospel.
Amen.
Some folks just don't want to hear it from the preacher. That's why it's so important that the preacher feeds the flock and the flock tell folks about Jesus. Because some folks just ain't going to hear a preacher.
Amen.
Some folks won't hear nobody but a preacher. Okay? Then he says, others don't hear about the Lord because of slothfulness. Slothfulness. They just like how they living and they don't want it to change. And they rather die and go to hell before they commit themselves to the Lord because they understand the work that's involved with being a child of God. Others don't want to come under the hearing of the gospel. You ain't going to get them nowhere where the gospel is being preached. This is how effective Satan is.
Yes.
Don't want to get. You can't even. You don't even. You turn on the gospel, and if it ain't finger popping and sound like jazz or R&B, they're not going to even listen to it.
Amen.
And the gospel artists know that stuff. Some of the stuff I hear on the Kirk Franklin radio station, I'm like, well, I might as well just turn on the oldies in the 70s, 80s gospel. I might as well listen to Teddy Pendergrass and the Shylights and all that. Because they just trying to water it down, make it smooth. And they won't talk about Jesus. You might listen, I'll be listening. Come on, say Jesus. Say repentance. Nothing. Nothing. And we like it. Well, pride, being reproved, hating preachers. I said I was going to close. I am.
Amen.
I am. That's my lesson. Don't forget Jesus on Memorial Day.
Amen.
Honor your soldiers. Honor those who fought overseas and made this country, you know, free, and we enjoy the freedoms that we once had. But don't forget Jesus.
Amen.
Don't forget Jesus, who died for our sins. and rolls from the grave.